With the announcement of two major developments in downtown Newark, the long-blighted city appears to be undergoing a transformation. New developments and amenities long missing are attracting new people to its downtown. But Newark has the lowest home ownership rates in New Jersey, even lower than Camden, the state's most distressed city. And as WNYC's Karen Rouse reports, that raises questions about whether Newarkers will benefit as the city gentrifies.
First, there was Mulberry Commons, 22 landscaped acres with shops, a park, and a pedestrian bridge. It would link Newark's popular Brazilian and Portuguese neighborhood, known as the Ironbound, to Newark Penn Station and the Central Business District. Newark Mayor Raz Baraka sounded poetic as he unveiled it last month on a windy Wednesday afternoon at the Prudential Center Arena.
My entire life I've been waiting for a renaissance to come around a corner that was so difficult to show up.
And maybe it has. A week later, not far from the arena, Baraka stood with celebrity chef Marcus Samuelson to announce the grand reopening of the former Haynes department store. That, too, is emotional for Baraka.
I was on my way to college in 1986. It was about to close down and never opened up again. So today is a day that we get an opportunity to reopen up the Haynes building and reimagine it as something about the future of Newark.
And Baraka says the project will include apartments, 40% of them affordable.
I know folks are saying development is happening in Newark without Newarkers, but not on our watch. Development is going to happen in this city, but we're all going to be included in it. God bless y'all. Incredible, incredible event today.
But there's a problem Baraka can't easily fix. Census figures from 2015 show only 1 in 4 Newarkers owns their own home. And Christopher Neat, a director for suburban studies at Hofstra University, says that will be a problem if Newark gentrifies.
Because the level of homeownership is so low, around 20%, most of the people who are going to be affected by redevelopment are renters. And we know that those renters are quite vulnerable to displacement.
Low homeownership goes back to the 1950s, when blacks moved to Newark in big numbers. Lenders and the federal government systematically practiced what's known as redlining. They would deny mortgage credit to African-American individuals and entire communities.
Borrowers of color were systematically denied access to mortgage credit as individuals.
More recently, hundreds of Newark residents who did buy homes were saddled with subprime mortgages they couldn't afford. Neat said the best way to avoid getting pushed out is for community advocates to protect them. The neighborhood where renters are most at risk? The Ironbound. The neighborhood is an enclave within walking distance to trains to New York. Its bustling thoroughfare has Brazilian and Portuguese cafes, restaurants, and corner markets. Drew Curtis is with the Ironbound Community Corporation. He says 80% of the Ironbound's residents are renters.
Since 2015, we've seen over 1,000 units approved at the planning and zoning boards or built with very little affordability built in.
His group wants the city to enact rent control laws and an ordinance that would make 20% of large housing developments affordable. And they want to see existing buildings rehabilitated. Newark can prevent displacement because gentrification has not gone full throttle yet.
A good friend of mine who looked at apartments in Harlem.
Lanier Richardson headed economic development under the former mayor, Cory Booker's administration.
It was about $4,500 for the two-bedroom apartment he wanted. He looked in Jersey City. $3,500. In Newark, that two-bedroom apartment was $2,200.
Even so, that's steep for a Newark resident. The median household income is $34,000, compared to $72,000 for New Jersey overall.
Give me your name.
My name is Alika Green, A-L-I-K-A-A-H.
Alika Green often stays with her sister in the South Ward. It's just 10 minutes from downtown Newark, but there is little sign of revitalization here. Instead, blight. She takes me to a brick high-rise across from the leafy Weequake Park. We head into a creaky old elevator with a tiny square window. It rumbles up to the 6th floor. Alika hates it.
It's so old school. You need to, fix it.
Her sister is at home with her toddler daughter. Alika says she's a fan of Baraka and a believer in the city. She remembers the past.
It looked like a dump, 2 or 3 years ago. I come downtown now, I see Whole Foods down there. I'm like, wow, they got Chipotle, Whole Foods, all these different restaurants. I'm like, wow, Newark is actually coming together.
And those new lofts, she'd love one.
I mean, I would love to move one of the apartments downtown, But I know the cost of rent is going to be so high. I'm not sure.
That's because she, and most everybody she knows, does not have the job skills to compete.
We don't really have many office jobs. We don't really have too many high-paying jobs. We have McDonald's. We have Burger King.
But those jobs won't pay for a downtown lifestyle.
Because we have Panasonic downtown. We have Prudential downtown. And most residents that work there are not Newark residents.
Newark City officials say the mayor is aware of the pitfalls of gentrification, and he's looking for ways to protect those born and raised in Newark. That includes negotiating with apartment builders to set aside a percentage of affordable units so locals can rent. Home ownership is part of the city's strategy, too. There is talk of an eco-village where city firefighters and police officers would be able to buy homes. But not all of these ideas will work. 2 years ago, the city held a Valentine's Day sale, offering city lots to couples for $1,000. Only about half of those are moving forward. For WNYC, I'm Karen Rouse.